Not very well. It's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Sam Benyanovich in studio to talk a little bit about the Chicago Bulls. We're on back-to-back games with the Milwaukee Bucks. Last night, blown out in Milwaukee. A game that a lot, I mean, today even caused some drama in the clubhouse as Nikola Mirotic, who did not play at all last night, which was very surprising for a guy who is one of the big players for the Chicago Bulls, skipped the shoot-around. He said he forgot.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird answer. Sam, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. By the way, that's the first time I've actually known a song that you've bumped back with in the year and a half, almost 2 years you've
been
here.
That's a Space Jam's jam, isn't it?
That's Little Bow Wow.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, thanks, Pete. Yeah, Little Bow Wow. You know, I had his first CD. So
there you go. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the Chicago Bulls right now. You and I, at the beginning of the year, kind of said, well, this is a team that doesn't seem to look to play for anything this year. They've been better, they've been worse, they're kind of mediocre, and the record indicates that after so far this season. I'm interested because they will show flashes. I mean, they beat the Spurs, they beat the Cavaliers, they show flashes, but they just don't really get up for these middle games.
That's the league, though. I mean, you look at the Spurs, they were 18-4, they were 13-0 at home. You go on the road, you lose. It happens. I'm not so much concerned about the Bulls beating the Cavs, beating the Spurs. I mean, that's going to happen. It's when you lose to the Lakers, and you lose to the Knicks, and you lose to these teams that have no business coming into your barn and winning. I mean, they don't protect home court. They don't really win on the road. They're 13-12 right now, which, for all intents and purposes, is an average basketball team. And right now they're losing 42-22 at home against a team they played yesterday. You would think they'd be able to fine-tune a game plan to stop what Milwaukee does well. Milwaukee comes in and they score 34 points in the first quarter. So
is it a distraction that you start to see a little friction where Mirotic misses a shoot-around? Do we start to see some of the things we saw last year with the Bulls where people started to go against the coach and Butler had their little tirade?
I'll tell you, I'm waiting for the first Jimmy Butler meltdown. I thought it'd be about December 15th. Kid you not, it happened after 20, 25 games last year. We're at December 16 right now, so it might happen tonight. And last game, the last home game that I was at, he turned down a couple of questions and somebody asked him after the game. They played Minnesota and lost to the T-Wolves. T-Wolves had six wins coming in. They were the second worst team in the league and they beat the Bulls. And somebody asked Jimmy about the emotions facing former head coach Tom Thibodeau. Jimmy paused for about 5 seconds and said, "Next question, please." So it's coming. That volcano's going to erupt pretty soon. Now, is it tonight? I don't know. Is it the next game? Who knows? But he's going to have another meltdown. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, so this team, what can it do to get on a streak? Because it's a very streaky team. You have three straight wins, three straight losses. What can it do? I mean, because we were just talking, it's not a particularly young team. It has a lot of rookie or younger players, but it's not a team that you're going to expect to get better as the season goes on because of players like Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. Is what we're seeing right now what we're going to get from this Bulls team?
The starters are old, but the bench is young. So you've got a lot of, you know, older players playing a lot of minutes early in the season. Dwayne Wade has been healthy so far, knock on wood. You know, Rajon Rondo's been out a couple of times with a couple of different things. Butler's been healthy, and then Gibson and Lopez are your starters. But then when you go to the bench, even when that front unit does have a lead, the bench just lets other teams crawl back in. And, you know, it's guys like McDermott and Portis, who has been terrible since he's been here. They're trying to figure out this Jaren Grant, and they got Felicio off the bench. So it's kind of like an accordion. You know, you've got the older guys, and then when you crunch it down in the middle, you got the younger guys. So it's an interesting mix. And, of course, you know, Fred Hoiberg was brought here because the team was going to shoot threes and make threes and get a lot of looks. They're last in the league in threes. So, I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, let me just say this. On Tuesday when they lost to Minnesota, I believe it was Tuesday night, I would have paid anything to be in that room with Gar Foreman and John Paxson watching that game unfold.
That
the Bulls
ridiculous.
Were up by 21.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And their former head coach, who they jettisoned out to bring in this pace and space, shoot the three coach, and he loses to the old coach.
After having a 21-point lead.
Largest comeback in the NBA this year, by the way.
Yeah. Well, let's stay on basketball. Let's go to the college ranks. I mean, we start to see, I mean, it's finals week for colleges, so they're going to stop. But the local teams, we do NU basketball here in Northwestern. They've had a great start. They got a big game tomorrow night against Dayton, which will go a long way to whether or not they're tournament ready.
Right. Northwestern 8-2. Played 10, they've won 8. I mean, that's all you can ask for in the non-conference. But I think the difference from this year and last season, and you know I call it like it is with Northwestern because I'm an Illini guy. I mean, Northwestern this year stepped up in the non-conference. They played at Butler, lost by 2. They played against Texas, won by 19. They played against Notre Dame, lost by 4. They've beaten Wake Forest. They've beaten DePaul. They're going to play Dayton tomorrow, a tournament team. This isn't Mississippi Valley State. This isn't, you know, Illinois Tech. This isn't Chicago State. They're playing and beating good teams. And Northwestern, they're probably going to finish better than Illinois this year. I think Northwestern and Illinois are both going to be in that range of 5th to 7th in the Big Ten. Now, are they 5th or are they 7th? That remains to be seen. But Northwestern, they're out there. They're shooting well. They're playing defense. And they're getting up and down the floor. And I think Chris Collins is the sole contributor for that. He has been awesome as a head coach.
Let me ask you as we wrap on the Illini. Yeah. I mean, the Illini early on, they had a couple losses in non-conference kind of losses where there was talk like, all right, you got to ship this coach. This
John
is,
Gross.
It's rebuild time. I mean, are we past that as a team rebounded? You're saying that they might have a shot here to make some waves in the Big Ten.
They should make the tournament. I'd be shocked if they didn't. They've lost to West Virginia. They're in the top 25. They've lost to Florida State in the top 25, and a home loss against Winthrop, who's probably going to be they're going to be a tournament team.
I know that's the one everyone said get this coach out of here.
No, but Winthrop is a very solid team. You know, they're in a smaller conference. They're in the Big South, but people don't know Winthrop. They don't correlate Winthrop with Duke and Kentucky and UCLA.
You think they can compete with the Big Ten?
I think Illinois should be, like I said, in that 5-7 range. They've got good guards, starting with Malcolm Hill out of Belleville, Tracy Abrams in his 6th year. He went to Mount Carmel on the south side. You've got some good wings, some good guards, and you've got some size inside. So they should be all right. I do think the Big Ten is still the best conference, and they might get 7 or 8 teams.
Okay, you know a lot about college basketball, some of the mid-majors in town, Loyola, DePaul, UIC.
Awesome. UIC, we lost our best player to a torn ACL the other day.
So do any of these teams should be watching these teams for possible sort of Cinderella teams for the tournament?
If Loyola gets in, they can make a Sweet 16. They're really good.
Do you think they can win their conference and get in?
Yeah, I think they can. You know, it's going to be Loyola against Wichita State. Those are the two best teams in the Missouri Valley. So I would keep my eyes peeled on Loyola. They actually play tomorrow at UIC. UIC just beat DePaul, so there's a lot of inner city ball going on right now.
All right.
So stay tuned.
Sam Panionovich, WGN Sports. Thanks for joining us, bud. Happy holidays.
You too, man.